Hello, everybody. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. And I had the intro playing, but it seems to be a little weird at the moment. And so, unfortunately, no intro for today. But you were listening to Speak Up, our talk hour, every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday morning, 10 a.m. here at CJSF 90.1 FM. And we are broadcasting from the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hokomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. And I just feel so grateful to be able to share all of this with all of you. Today we have various stories happening across the province of British Columbia. And I was actually away last week. I was in Montreal for all of last week. So I don't have any stories produced myself, but a lot of other people throughout BC do. And they're really worth listening to. So I put together a bit of a compilation of some of those stories for all of you to listen to this hour. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be going through Vancouver Island. We're going to be going up to Smithers. And we're going to be listening to news that, while local to those areas, is still important for us living here in the Lower Mainland and wherever else you may be listening to this show. So with that being said, before I play any of that for all of you today, I thought I would start off with some local Vancouver music. This is from a local group by the name of Nada, and this track is titled Red Light. Once again, this is Speak Up, and I'm your host, Danny Nesvedarani, for CJSF 90.1 FM. Hope you enjoy. All right, trying to see what is happening here. Seems like there is a bit of a issue going on with the computer here, but we will be coming at you soon with some music. I just first need to get everything in order. All right, so to start off, let's see if this will work. Okay. We are still working on it, and it will be coming right your way very soon, but first need to see how this will work. Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay. I am going to actually not play music right now, but I am going to play a piece that is from Frequency News, and this comes from Smithers, BC. This is a piece about a protest that happened in Smithers, BC, regarding what is happening in Gaza and the West Bank, regarding the growing humanitarian crisis within Gaza, which is ever-present and only growing worse and worse. And I think it's an important piece to play because I think it highlights that, you know, shows of solidarity, shows of not just disappointment and disapproval, but disgust with what is going on in that part of the world isn't just happening in sort of bigger cities and things like that. It's happening everywhere. You know, anywhere that you have access to the news and are able to see what is going on seems to have people expressing their disapproval of it, and for good reason. So I thought I would play that piece for all of you. This is from Dan Messick from CICK, and here is that piece.
Tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, as the Israeli war intensifies in the Middle East, many in opposition to the expanding war want to ensure that the growing humanitarian crisis in Gaza doesn't get forgotten. Over the weekend, thousands of people from around the world came together in marches and rallies to show their solidarity with those suffering in Gaza, even here in this small part of the world. Carmen Wojak is a member of the Smithers Palestine Solidarity Group, which gathered together to mark the Global March for Gaza along Main Street in Smithers.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Gaza!
Free, free Gaza!
Free, free Palestine!
My name is Carmen Wojak. I'm associated with the Smithers Palestine Solidarity Group. It's a group that started up in January of this year when Heather McPherson came out and we had a meeting and discussion with her. And then after that, the group was formed. That was led by Bronwyn Hobson. She kind of started it. And today we had a march down Main Street in solidarity with the Global March for Gaza. That's happening across the globe, and a march for free Palestine.
Why did you want to take this on? And obviously there's been, you know, more events that you have organized in the last while to bring more attention to what's going on in Gaza. Why are you wanting to bring attention to this here in our little old kind of corner of the world here in Smithers?
I feel like it's an incredibly important thing to bring light to. We have it. We have so much in common in terms of the genocide that Canada perpetrated against the indigenous people, the colonization of this land, and also Palestinians are human, and it's an absolute travesty what is happening with the genocide going on in Gaza, the relentless violence and bombing, the starving of 2 million people, and not just Gaza in the West Bank, and just the colonization of Palestine in general. I just feel like if you're human, it's a very human problem, and it's something that everyone should care about deeply.
Tell me a little about the march today. What did you guys do, and what did you talk about?
The march today was in solidarity with the Global March to Gaza. There, from the June 12th to the 20th, there's been global marches in different countries and in cities. It marks the Samud convoy, which is... There's been thousands of activists and volunteers from Northern Africa, from Canada, from France and the Netherlands that have traveled to Cairo in an attempt to march to the Rafah border and break the siege and open up a humanitarian passage. And the second focus that I wanted to take in was that it's Father's Day. And for the past 18 months, we've been kind of talking about how tragic it is for the women and children that are being killed, that are suffering, that are starving. They're targets of Israel right now. But usually the men are dismissed or their suffering is ignored. And I just wanted to highlight that there's thousands of Palestinian men and fathers and husbands and sons that are also suffering. They're also starving with their children. They're the ones that we see in videos kind of digging through rubble, trying to search for survivors. They're the ones that are carrying, you know, one or two more children on their backs as they run away from airstrikes, carrying people to safety. They're the ones that are right now being lured to aid distribution points and then are being gunned down, all in attempts to try and get what little food that they can to feed their starving families. And I just felt like it was really important to highlight them, especially after Palestinian men and Arab men have been demonized and brushed off as terrorists and everything else. So, yeah.
Obviously, in the last few days, we've seen an escalation in all this business. Looks like Israel and Iran are in a war now, firing missiles at each other. You know, again, here, you know, there was talk of what action people can take. What are you hoping to come out of these marches and these actions? And what do you hope people take away from this? What action would you like to see them take and get the message out that this is not sitting well with Canadian citizens in large part, and this is not sitting well with other parts and other people, other citizens of the world?
The message I wanted to try and get out today is to not give up and to not forget Gaza, that Gaza and Palestine are still the focus of the story. And I feel like, you know, Israel attacking Iran might be a desperate attempt to get the focus off of Gaza. And, you know, if people are too busy watching what's happening between those two countries, that they're going to lose focus on Palestine. But I also think it's important because Israel right now is acting in such a way where it's breaking humanitarian laws, international laws, acting with such cruelty. I just feel that it's a threat to peace and justice, to humanity across the globe, as well as to our collective safety. And that no, it's not just Israel. Any state that wants to act in such a way is unacceptable and is immoral.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A longtime Smithers resident, Peter Rebergen, spent time in the Palestinian refugee camps and the West Bank. We spoke with him about his experience there and why he felt the need to march.
Peter Rebergen.
And Peter, I know we've spoken about this before. You've spent time in Palestine, you know, now seeing the escalation, but also, as you mentioned, seeing this type of action, even in a small context. How does it make you feel to be here today?
Well, very conflicted. On the one part, it gives me some encouragement and some hope to think there are still folks who think about humanity and what it could be and should be, and also still quite upset and discouraged at how much pain and horror there is in the world and why we can't get our act together more quickly, more effectively. And so I'm particularly concerned about doublespeak, where we say nice things in print and verbally in our faith traditions and so forth, but then we are more than just reluctant in trying to follow through in that, mm-hmm. in ways that start to have a real impact. Yeah. So we're just really comfortable maintaining the status quo and not really moving things in a direction that is going to make some significant change in the futures of others who are really experiencing some of the horrors of whatever it is, poverty, apartheid, all those injustices.
One thing that was mentioned was, you know, wanting for people to take action to make people feel empowered. What kind of action do you think is needed from, you know, people who've attended today?
Well, there are many different ways to do that, and we can all make various responses, whatever might work. I appreciate those who are able to participate in a march that draws some public attention to this and hopefully, you know, a response of interest and saying, yeah, I'd like to know more, understand more. Why do you do these marches and so? So that's one thing we can do is education, awareness, mm-hmm. and I always encourage young people too. And I think as an educator, well, a grade 12 diploma, university degree doesn't mean that you've done your education. A big part of education is getting out there and actually experiencing, whether it's mountains and lakes or, you know, the difficulties of refugees in various places, what, you know, war-torn countries are going through. So it's those experiences that, in my case, have been life-changing. I had the opportunity to experience some of that. So, yeah, it's going to affect us all if we take it seriously. Everything from go out there and feel it to, okay, my own comfortable lifestyle. I might have to make some adjustments there so that there's a little more justice for others.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.
Thank you to Dan Messick for that piece on the Palestinian Solidarity Group in Smithers marching to support the siege that is happening within Gaza at the moment and the ever-present and significant humanitarian crisis that is happening in Gaza. I believe that things are now a little better in terms of the technology here at CJSF. You know, there was a bit of a hiccup at the beginning of the show, but no more. So I thought before we get into the next news piece here at this hour of Speak Up, I would play a track from a local group by the name of Nada. This track is titled Red Light, and it should play.
So I don't pop out like a cha-cha. Taking care of me and mine, better call off. All the shit I had to do, better fall off. To a new dimension, but my peace of mind protecting. Baby, got a one-way ticket, don't test me. Better lose these digits, don't text me. If you try calling on my line, make sure your signal's on hi-fi. Can't ask for you every time. But your network is your network. I'm fine. Just need above average. Sensitive to waves, see it as and if I'm oscillating or debating, then I'm better off getting dirty. I lay up in my bed like, think I need to go red light. Think I need to go red light. Think I need to go red light. Need to stop so I feel right. Take a minute to breathe. I think I need to go red light. Think I need to go. Think I need to go home. Bring in the big guns. Only going outside for some real ones. Any lesson I leave into the days done. Going A1 in my true error. I dare you to say some. That's what I thought. Stayed on 8+ hours till the sun's up. Got a date with my duvet. Waiting on a new daylight. I got lost on you. Froze up like a yo game fruit. Light flashing before my eyes. Heart beating like I might die. Wish I could run, wish I could fight. Liquid gold, only thing keeping me sane. Memories on my mind, hits like a stain. Told my mama quit this time, but it hurts to lie. I lay up in my bed, I think I need to go red light. Think I need to go red light. Think I need to go red light. Need to stop so I feel right. Take a minute to breathe. I think I need to go red light. Think I need to go. Think I need to go. I know why. Cold hard time to
We are back with Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. And you were just listening to Red Light by Nada. But now that we're back, I thought I would play another piece for all of you. This one comes from the Comox Valley on Vancouver Island. And it is a piece about a Comox Valley doctor and town councillor who is running for the BC Greens leadership. And I think this is an interesting piece to play because I think there has been quite a bit of news coverage lately of certain candidates that are hopefuls for the BC Green leadership. And, you know, with the way that the BC NDP sort of aligns, and then with the BC Conservatives being sort of like an almost more, not an almost, a more right-wing version of the previous BC Conservative Party, BC United, it's interesting to see where the BC Greens will align within that political landscape come this election for new leadership. And this is just one more person that is vying for that spot. So I thought I would play this piece so you can learn a little bit more about what they plan to offer. Once again, this is a piece from Heather Watson from the Comox Valley.
This is a CHLY and CVOX news update. The BC Green Party leadership race is on, and Comox Valley's own Jonathan Kerr is one of three candidates running. Kerr is a local family doctor, vice chair of the Comox Valley Regional District, or CVRD, and is serving his second term as a councillor in the town of Comox. Jonathan Kerr spoke with CHLY and CVOX about his choice to run for leader of the BC Green Party.
It's a really exciting time. I've dedicated my life to serving my community. I've been a family doctor for 17 years, and for the past 4 years, I've served here our local government as a twice-elected Green councillor and a regional director. And I've really been listening to the people in my community of Comox and the Comox Valley, and I'm really excited to get to work on issues that matter to all British Columbians.
Kerr is enthusiastic about his campaign and says that now is a critical time for serious action.
Our province is facing a lot of challenges, and often we see the other big parties, they get tangled up in political games and don't really focus on getting things done. But what we've seen locally is that Greens that get elected actually get stuff done. We're the only party with a long-term vision for the future. We're science-based, evidence-based approaches, and these will make our province the best place in the world to live for generations to come. So it's been really exciting to meet people all across BC. I've traveled to 12 different communities in the past 3 weeks, including Prince George, Quesnel, Williams Lake up north. And really the momentum and excitement of this growing Green movement and party has been profound. And I'm really excited that I might have the chance to be the next leader of this party.
Kerr has been releasing a new major plank of his platform every week, starting with environment and climate, which are core to the values of the BC Green Party. In the past few weeks, he has shared his platform on cost of living, housing, and most recently, energy, security, and innovation. He says economy and democracy will be next.
I invite anyone that's interested in looking at my platform to visit jonathankerr4bc.com, and you'll be able to read those, and I encourage you to give me feedback. I'm really accepting feedback and advice. This is a living platform, and I'm trying to improve it as I go along.
Kerr shared an example of one platform piece he has already taken feedback on from one of the communities he visited so far on his campaign.
I released my environment and climate platform recently, and in part of that was a large section on forestry. And then when I was up in Prince George, I had an opportunity to meet with the Conservation North Steering Committee. And this is a group that looks at protecting primary forests in the north. And they have really good forestry policy. And after meeting with them, I made some big changes to my platform to incorporate the knowledge that I'm learning. So I'm a lifelong learner. I'm a family doctor. I love to learn. And as I travel the province, I'll be doing this. I'll be incorporating good ideas that I come across as I meet people.
Kerr says that while the BC Greens are known for and will always be the home to people that care about the environment, they also have important policy on cost of living, housing, healthcare, and energy.
And so what I really am excited to share and have been sharing is all of these great ideas that BC Greens have on these other topics. And really, we know affordability is such an important issue right now across BC, and we have an amazing plan to tackle that, including providing free public transit for all British Columbians, developing free universal pre-kindergarten integrated into the Ministry of Education, and make the tax system more progressive and fair.
And when it comes to the global green core tenet of participatory democracy, Kerr says that means involving citizens directly, informing the policies that govern them.
I'll give you a little example of participatory democracy in my town here at Comox. So I sit on Comox Council, and we had a forest and two wetlands that were slated for development. And local biologists, community members came forward and said, hey, you know what? There's actually a red-listed wetland, two of them, in fact, in this forest, and it shouldn't be destroyed. So with a lot of feedback, public input, conversations with the developer, we were able to save this part of the forest from being bulldozed. And it's a real win for the community and what democracy can do when it's working really well.
A big piece of that is engaging people across diverse experiences, including youth.
BC Greens have called for lowering the voting age to 16 in the next election, and I think that's something that we should do. We know youth in our province are interested. They really have a stake in the future of our economy and jobs and the environment, and they want to be involved.
The BC Green Party has made the leadership contest more accessible to youth by making membership free to those aged 14 to 29. When it comes to the other candidates in the leadership race, Kerr says the party is lucky to have, quote, three excellent candidates, end quote. He says what sets him apart is his experience as an elected Green on the Comox Council, where he was re-elected for his second term with the highest number of votes.
Here in Comox, I've been able to get things done for my constituents. For example, when I was knocking on doors in the election, the number one thing that I heard was, we need a family doctor. Our family needs a family doctor. So I set up a task force, worked with the Division of Family Practice, and we helped bring in 45 new family doctors and nurse practitioners in the Comox Valley in just 3 years, which is amazing for our province and for our country. We're leading the country in this respect. And so people see, yes, Jonathan, he's the environmental activist. He's the protect the forests and trees and tree canopy, but he also gets things done on other fronts like healthcare.
Kerr also shared his experience as vice chair of the CVRD, championing the creation of a housing authority that he says will be set up by the end of the year. This will provide more below-market rental housing, filling what he calls a desperate need in the Comox Valley, and making a, quote, huge dent in our housing crisis, end quote. Kerr says that if he wins the leadership race, this experience will apply because politics is about the same thing at every level, whether municipal or provincial. He says it is about listening to constituents and working with others to make policies that will make a real difference in people's lives.
Politics at any level is really about relationships. It's about connecting with people in your community, those that you represent. I'm very fortunate to, whether I go to the grocery store or walk down the street, connect with people. They tell me about issues that are affecting their lives. And then I really set forth to do something about it, to have good policy, to make good decisions on council during meetings, to make sure that people's lives are improved.
Kerr also says his experience as a family doctor is great training for politics, with both roles sharing the same core responsibility to the people they serve.
Well, it's to listen to those in my community, to really empathize and care about what they're going through in their lives, and then to find out, hey, let's diagnose the problem. What is the problem here? And then let's go about and finding a solution and a treatment for it.
But not every story is a success story, and he sees the value in those moments too. Kerr shares how an early lesson in politics is that not everything will work out how you think it might. He recalls a recent loss of a forest slated for development in Comox that the community came together to try and protect, but was clear-cut in the end. He joined a ceremony called Wake for the Trees to respect the loss of urban forest.
It was a powerful moment that, you know, I really worked hard to try to save this area, but it wasn't possible because of the market forces and economics and push for housing by the province. So I learned from that, though, and we move forward. We try to find ways that we can do better next time. But as a community, it was a chance to get together, to learn from each other, to listen to each other, and to heal.
If he were to be elected party leader, Kerr does not know yet which riding he would run in, and says that is a